Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we get into the podcast, Tim here, and I just want to remind you, we have a live show coming up on Saturday, September the 7th, which also happens to be the day that England fly to Japan for the Rugby World Cup. It's our World Cup preview podcast. It is our host and see the whites of your eyes and share a beer with you, Negroni with you as well.
Exactly.
It's our Negroni party. It's our JB 2020 RFU, what's the word, committee. RFU, you want to be an old fart getting all the expenses.
Yeah, RFU Council launch party, where yes. I get to spend your expenses properly.
And as I say, World Cup preview, live podcast. There'll be other podcasters there, all the details of this event, and to get your tickets, podcastlive.com. It should be cracking. It's a whole day's worth of shows, nothing but rugby. And you can get to have a little snoop around the brand new renovated Twickenham East Stand as well. So podcastlive.com. Also, one more thing before we get into the podcast. There's been a lot of people sharing and tagging me in on a video of an Australian kid who's downing a pint very quick. Only one podcast has the world record holder, and that's as it's going to stay.
Exactly right.
Let's get on with the pod.
Right. Ready?
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we are here for you 52 weeks of the year in the rugby dungeon, which is a windowless, darkened dungeon, heated from the outside by the sun all day.
Oh, yeah.
We are baking in here. I'm here. JB's here.
Hello, Tim. Actually, it's only you and I that do it all year round.
Well, this is true.
This is true.
We have a part-timer on the team, which is Phil. However, JB and I were racking our brains and thinking, what do we want to do with Phil being away? Where is he this weekend, by the way?
He's in Norway. He's in a wedding in Norway.
Nice.
Pathetic.
We thought we need to try and find one of Phil's ex-teammates. And it just so happens that one of Phil's ex-teammates is also Gloucester's Mark Atkinson. Mark.
Hello there.
Do you remember playing with Phil?
Oh, I mean, do you know what's awful is you're probably going to have to give me more than just
Phil
the name
Largan.
Phil,
Phil Largan, Sedgley Park, circa 2009. He would have been your winger when you were fly off.
Yeah, honestly, if Phil says, yeah, 100%, yeah. I mean, I went to Sedgley Park for about 7 or 8 weeks, yeah. and it's a time in my career that I might have erased my memory. I really enjoyed my time there, and they sort of taught you good values of what you do after a game, but I think we might hold a record. We went down to Exeter, and I reckon I hit about 15 restarts. I think we lost to Exeter about 86-0, I think. You'll have to get it up, but...
I've checked the history books, Mark, and there was one match where you scored after 2 minutes against Cornish Pirates.
Yeah.
And Phil was on the same team as you, in the same side as well as Petrus Duplessis.
Yeah, yeah, Paro there, yeah.
Yeah, and against Blair Cowan.
Oh, well, yeah, there we go.
So I think it's a perfect illustration of why the championship needs to be looked after, because it cultivates fantastic players who come through not in necessarily the traditional way.
And podcasters,
by itself. And podcasters as well, come through like yourself, Mark.
More importantly, I like to go by the definition of podcaster first, rugby player second these days. No, it is good. You know what? It is good. I've had the pleasure of being relegated twice from that league. Which I'd like to also know how many people have been able to do that.
Yeah, right.
But I've seen both sides of it. I've done sort of relegated with Sedgley Park and with Esher, but then also sort of almost win it with Bedford and end up near the top of it. So it is a really dark league to be in at times, because you have to go to some horrible places and play in some sort of not the nicest situations and not the biggest fan bases. But I think it gives a great opportunity as well. I think it's really, really sort of. I was asked for my opinions on, you know, the time when they were thinking about maybe closing the league off. And yeah. I'm still a big believer that we should be keeping it and funding it and trying to get it to grow more and more.
Quite, because not every player comes through age 21 and some take a different path than... I will look at you now in the Gallagher Premiership team of the season. And
the Barbarian, no less.
And Barbarian. And thank obviously, you, yeah. Obviously, podcaster first, and people should check out the Podding Shed because you're annoyingly you're annoyingly natural as a broadcaster, Mark.
Thank you. Well, thank you. We've enjoyed ourselves. We're only our first year in, and we've had a good. I've not told them yet that I'm on tonight, so I'm gonna have to send an apology on a later sort of saying I may have sort of cheated on you tonight with a couple of new podcasters, but I'm sure they'll be supportive.
Oh mate, it's all well. We can send more people your way. That's more the point. Actually, the way I can tell from Twitter, Instagram, and the like, professional rugby players these days are avid Love Island fans. So let's get that one out of the way. Are you watching it?
I am. Yeah. I mean, I am. My missus has given me a strict hour here, so I don't know what you're going
to
get.
We had a domestic off, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, if I'm not off the phone, but do you know what I've got a problem with? I feel sorry for people who have to watch it on their own because I like to pause and sort of discuss what's just happened in front of us. So I don't know what I'd do if I had to watch that on my own.
I like live tweeting and I've got two separate WhatsApp groups regarding Love Island.
There we go. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, so you're getting constant feedback, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There's no real other point, is there? I mean, it's just a reflection on society. Love Island allows me to, this sounds awful, but talk to my hairdresser about things that she cares about.
yeah, there we go. It's basic. Do you know one of the things? Like the last two weekends, we've been away with people, and it essentially, if you're not watching it, you were the minority in the group, and therefore weren't able to join in with a lot of conversations around the dinner table. So I almost feel like it's a duty to watch it these days.
Yeah, I am so much closer to the 20-year-old girls who are apprentices in my law firm because I understand Love Island. It's a bridge. Yeah. It's a generational bridge.
Yeah, there we go. When the whole squad comes back in, I imagine 90%. I'll do a quick poll for you, but and get back to you. I reckon 90% have been watching it.
100. Well, I'm 100% about that 90%.
Excellent.
Yes.
Are you back in and training?
I've actually had I had some surgery in the off season, so I've sort of had a strange. I had my shoulder re-sorted out. So I've sort of had a strange off-season. They allowed me to do the Barbars game, which was very good of them. Mm. But it's been an ongoing problem for a while. So they sort of said, do the Barbars game, which I was very grateful for. And then I also have my stag do as well. So they allowed me to do that as well.
I didn't get that invitation. Where was that invitation?
No, you did. No, all podcasters around the country got it. All the big ones. All the big...
only the big ones, Dan.
Yeah, so they allowed me to do that, which was very good of the club, and then I had it done after that. So I've sort of had a bit of a mixed time off, but it was necessary, and I'm sure I'm getting married later in the summer, so I'm sure I'll make the time back up there somehow.
Fair enough. Let's go back just 5 years for a minute. We mentioned that you came through the Championship route and a lot, you know, years spent with Bedford and stuff. When you were there, did you always think, I know I've got a season like the one you've just had in you? Or was there a bit of you that kind of thought, I'm quite happy where I am, plodding along, and anything else is a bonus?
No, I was so grateful for the Championship. I also, one part of me always hated it because I was seeing people that I sort of always thought were I could compete with. You know, you can't necessarily sit there and say you think you're better than people, but you think I want to give myself a chance to compete with them. So in one sense, playing in that league was great to play a lot, and everyone always says it's great to go and play there and spread your wings a bit. But at the same time, I was thinking, I want to be back up there. I didn't give it my all first time round. I want to go back and give it my all. So a few sort of opportunities passed me by whilst there, just didn't, for one reason or another, didn't happen at certain clubs. And then, you know, fortunately, Gloucester, I almost went to Gloucester the year before, and it sort of fell through. And then fortunately, it was all, you know, wrapped up very, you know, start of the season. It was pretty much, I mean, you're not allowed to say that, are you? you know, I was sort of it was all done by September, October time, so I was playing freely from knowing I was moving up, which was good.
Yeah, nice.
Now, just before we go on to the England squad, because we do need to talk about England.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for that. You what you're about to say is now it makes sense that your shoulder's been bad.
Yeah. Exactly. We've cleared that. That's one big question. Why didn't Eddie pick you? Obviously, we now know that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Eddie's the only person who doesn't know that I've done my shoulder, which is frustrating. I'd love to say it was to do with my shoulder, but he's got no idea about the injury.
He has no idea about most things, judging by the squad.
Oh, God.
So just before we go on to that, do you know what really surprised me about his season? Is watching you last season and the way that you play. I always thought that to get the best out of you, they're going to have to basically build the team around you so you can do all your nice little offloads and so on and so forth. And bringing in Danny, they're then going to have to build the team around Danny. But what's amazed me the most is how you both connected so well.
Yeah, I think, do you know what? I'll be the first to say, in no way was I ever sceptical about Danny coming in as Danny as a player, because we know what he's like. But I always found myself, I've got a great relationship with Bill Burns on the pitch. And I was sort of always thinking, oh, it's a shame to lose such a big talent, you know, a young age for someone who's come through the club. And I just thought Bill was starting to really take control of the game. And then obviously Danny arrives, and Danny's just been, he's been incredible. Part of me would have loved to see is Bill, you know, flourish under Danny as well, which I thought would be a really sort of special combination. Danny's come in and he's allowed us sort of all to learn his game first and foremost, because that's what you have to do with him. And I think everyone who's played with him accepts he's got a shape around him that he wants to run. And you just sort of learn that the more you do sort of, you know, he talks about if you make the right decisions more often than not, then the team will start to see benefits. And that's all you sort of do. You just rep good drills. You just keep repping the same shapes all year. Nothing's sort of special or fancy about what you try and rep and do, but just make good decisions within that shape. And he preaches it so hard.
Are you almost running your lines in order to give him so you're perfecting what you do in order to give him the opportunity to make the right decision? Is that basically
No, he puts ownership on. So for instance, like a lot of the shape that we run our first phase, he puts ownership on me, and that's what you saw with Dan. You sort of, you run things and you think, oh, you know what, some of them went really well today, and then he'll focus on the ones that will question the decisions that I made on the first phase, for instance, and say, why have you made this? It's fine, the decisions are made, but why did you make this? What did you see to make this decision? We don't have any pre-calls, if you will. We've got shapes that go to three different places on the pitch, and you make a decision as and what you see.
Yeah.
But people have to learn, you know, it's all about, you know, the lines that Bill 12 runs whilst playing 13 have to be the same every time. And the line that I runs has to be the same every time in order for everyone to know what's going on, really.
Sorry. I was about to ask some more questions then, but I'm at risk here of getting too deep into the mysteries of running lines.
I think a perfect segue from mentioning Danny Cipriani to the England squad, in which not only Danny Cipriani from Gloucester, but also Willie Hines made an appearance.
Oh, yeah.
You must have been delighted for your skipper there, but what would you make of that one, Mark?
Honestly, I couldn't be happier for it. I had lunch with it. Obviously, he's known for a while. I had lunch with him last week, and he's just buzzing. Like, he had a little taste of it a couple of years ago. So obviously Eddie's been a fan of him from some afar before. And then also as a club, you know, just to get Thorlow and Val as well sort of into the wider squad was good for us as a club, because we've not had that much recognition of late. So, Willie getting in is just brilliant. I think he's told Willie what he likes about him. He's told him, you know, we all know he's got a great kicking game. He's fantastic defensively, and he's his running game, when he gets his running game going, it's brilliant. And so he's got a lot of traits that I think any international coach would like. I was just so delighted for him to be in.
And how important do you think it is linking up with, well, that man again, Danny?
How much do you think that was in Eddie's thinking? Because when you look at it, the squad has got two from Leicester, two from Saracens. It's got the halfbacks from Saracens, Leicester and Gloucester.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's more so what Willie brings as a person and a player. I think if you look at it, that he picked four originally, he's got two relatively inexperienced, well, three relatively inexperienced international level. But he's probably thinking that Willie's got so much experience playing Southern Hemisphere rugby and now captaining and playing Northern Hemisphere that he probably thinks he's a little bit more experienced and a little bit sort of an older head on those shoulders that. Maybe he won't feel the pressure as much if he does end up going with him, because it sort of seems clear that Ben Youngs is number one, and then it's sort of a fight for the number two shirt, I guess.
You might have to use your media training over the next few minutes, because
I don't think
there's going to be punches pulled on this one. So no. I am delighted for Willie Hines. I'm also delighted for Lewis Ludlam.
And for
Ben Spencer. I think that was more predicted and more, you sort of saw that one coming a lot more.
Piers Francis,
delighted for him.
Rory McConachie,
equally. He's had a great season. Delighted for all of those players.
Good for them.
You're saying the word delighted. You don't sound overly delighted for them.
Well, no. I'm pleased for them as individuals. Yeah. I don't understand it.
I'm with you, Tim.
I don't understand it. I would exclude Willie Hines from that one because actually I got a bit of stick from people on Twitter when, as the reporter in the semi-final match at Saracens, Mark, I interviewed Willie Hines before the match and I asked him, you know, everyone's talking about Danny. What about you for the England squad? And loads of people said, what are you talking about, Tim? I got loads of stick for that. Yeah. So have that.
Exactly.
Because you're in the England squad. But I just don't understand it. I've got no issue with any individual player getting that spot, but I just don't understand the process that we've gone through, bearing in mind Eddie Jones's last 3 years has been building up to this moment.
Yeah, it's incredible, really. It's incredible because you would have hoped, wouldn't you, that the scrum halves that he picked would have had some time on a pitch in an England shirt. He has one guy who he's decided not to pick. Lewis Ludlam is a fantastic player. Absolutely fantastic, but he's never been in an England shirt, and why not give him the time? Why stick with Robshaw all this time and then not give Ludlam a chance or whoever it is that you're planning?
Well, I'll give you a list. Chris Robshaw. I just wanted to give that man a hug when I saw that squad.
It's bloody brutal, isn't it? It's absolutely brutal.
And like Ben Morgan at Gloucester's had an amazing year, Mark.
Yeah, I'd agree with... Yeah, I think Ben Morgan's played the best rugby, honestly, some of the best rugby I've ever seen from him. So I don't know what he has to do anymore to get a look in. But with the Ludlam one's tough, isn't it? Because he's sort of come from nowhere this year. I guess people at Saints have probably known about him for a while, but he's obviously had a breakthrough season where everyone's got a little bit excited about him and he's had a great season. So I'd guess that one's more, you're giving him a taste of it for the future, but is it the right scenario to start giving people a taste? That's probably not for me.
No one cares about anything else.
Not for me to answer that. But it is the world. Yeah, is the World Cup camp a time to start giving people a taste? Well, it gives people a taste right at the highest level, doesn't it? So
yeah. And you look at World Cup winning squads in the past, and you look at the number of caps that they have under their belt. There's a definite correlation, and I'm not saying it will always. And there are outliers that can do something different, and maybe England will be an outlier. But what I just don't understand that the 3 years, the decisions that have been made, only to just throw it out and do something completely different a couple of months away.
I've got a theory here, and I think it's the All Blacks again. So the All Blacks are basically, they get in people's heads. And I think 4 years ago, Milner Scudder was actually like a Trojan horse to confuse all of the coaches, because everybody now talks about if we can only find the next Milner Scudder. So all these international coaches now, right, I'm going to pick five potential Milner Scudders just in case. And that's basically what's going on.
That could be a cock and a singer, I guess, couldn't it? The international scene won't have really seen him very much. Someone like that, for instance, or like McConaughey looks a different threat, doesn't he? Whether... Yeah, I don't think I've seen enough of him to sort of know, but he's had obviously a fantastic season. And whether he's going, you know what, someone here is going to be my surprise package for the World Cup who could just change a game.
I'd love Ollie Thorley to have been there. I mean, with the ball in hand, I can understand on the highest level, he's still young and there's a potential he could have been exposed without the ball. But with the ball.
Do you know what's a shame? It's a shame he wasn't fit for the last 6 weeks of the season, because I genuinely think where he was in the season when he got injured, and then, you know, obviously we wanted him back for the semi-final, and he sort of didn't quite get back for the end of the season. If he'd have carried on as he was going, I really think he'd have been in there. And to put him in the wider squad obviously shows he was in the reckoning, but... You know, just how he was going at that stage, I genuinely think if he stayed fit all season, he'd have been right. He'd have been in his World Cup plans. He was doing that much.
He does, as he did this season. He just did things that no one else can do. But Chris, on the winger point, Chris Ashton, what must he be thinking? He made that decision, and you understand family comes first. He made that decision to be with his wife. I assumed when I saw that story from Chris Ashton that the England's training camp was abroad. And he was worried about missing the birth of his child, knowing that it was only two hours up the 2 hours up the road from where he lived, 2.5 hours up the road.
I don't think we've seen the last
of
him yet.
He must be kicking himself.
I don't think this is over.
I think Ash has made that decision. Like he's a bright man. He's been around. He knows what he's doing, and he's made his decision. I think it's not for that one there. I think the Ashy one's different to the rest of them. Yeah. He's been around. He knows sort of the game of World Cups and the way England works, and he will have, you know, made his own decision with a lot of facts in front of him. So I think, as far as that one's concerned, he's made his own decision there. So I actually respect that one.
Yeah. And also,
I do see where you mean, and a lot of rugby fans have come from with a number of other decisions, which is obviously always going to cause debate. But some of them are taken. I think you've got to take some of them as read as well.
Yeah, I take that. And it's one of my bugbears, Mark, is people saying, oh, so-and-so should be in, so-and-so should be in, but not saying who they drop instead. So we on this podcast, we're very, very clear. If I say, he's had a great season, but Lewis Ludlam, I don't think he should be in. People go, I'll say Chris Robshaw should be in, and they'll say, well, who should be dropped? Lewis Ludlam. Or Ben Morgan.
Yeah,
so because you can't fit 60 people in
the squad.
It's the same
as when someone sort of goes, do you know what? It's ridiculous. Like, I'd have such and such a second row, and you go, hang on, we've got four of the best second rows around. Yeah. Who are you pulling out of those four second rows to put another one in? So you are right. You've got to say it with balance. You can't just hammer a squad. You've got to sort of have an alternative and a reason for that alternative going in. You can't just... It's easier to pick holes in a squad than offer a solution, isn't it?
And to be fair, one of the big question marks that there were over that England squad was at loosehead prop at the very highest level, and that there's one big cog... return to the fray there.
And that's why I don't think we've seen the end of Chris Ashton. I honestly still think that he will come back into contention.
Yeah, I guess Joe, as big one's going to be is if Jack Noel gets back fit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you'll know far more about this playing in the back line and being a utility option yourself. You can slot in various positions. I know you've...
Fly half,
Premiership 10.
No, that's... that's the only place I can slot in.
but you'll understand, but there is, technically, I suppose you could argue, there is no, in the England squad, there is no fullback that is a fullback.
No, I guess what you mean, sort of like the likes of Brownie would be a fullback, wouldn't he?
Yes. I mean, obviously, Elliot Daly has played there, can play there, does play there. Well, at least for
England.
Anthony Watson was, I suppose, but more. I'm just maybe that's one little. There's no doubt. There's incredible amount of pace. How much is that pace a factor versus that positioning a factor, Mark? What would you take if you had to pick one person who was always in the right place at the right time, but maybe ran through treacle or someone who was just electric?
I think it almost depends. You need to work it as a back three, and obviously he's got electric people around him, so. So does the fullback need to be the sprinter? I don't know. But I know he's. I think it looks like he wants to give Jack Noel the squad, doesn't he? I don't know how long that injury is, but he's obviously been on fire, and he must think he's one that he doesn't want to go without to the World Cup by the looks of it.
I guess they're going to try and
sort of give Jack Noel as long as possible, which, like you said, opens it up for Ashy. If Ashy's the type of person you could call in halfway through World Cup,
exactly,
and he'll do a job and annoyingly score a hat trick, won't he? So
that's,
you know, he's that sort of high end that he could drop into a squad, whereas other people I don't feel could just drop into a squad.
The thing with that, sorry, no, Ashton, Noel, is, I mean, do you think there's any plans to play him at fullback? Because I hope there isn't. I'll give you an example. I know a couple of wingers who can play fullback, and they actually prefer playing wing because wing gives you the freedom to go and explore and do this, that, and the other. I think if England even consider Noel at fullback, they must be mental because, frankly, you know, you need him roaming and looking for work.
I think it's Daly and Watson. He seems to, he likes.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think he's ever been. Has he ever been mentioned as being a fullback, Noel?
Well, he's been a seven.
He's played there a couple of times towards the end of the season for Exeter before he got injured. So I think
I think they. They've got them nailed on, haven't they? Elliot and Ant Watson are probably the two fullbacks, I imagine, at the moment. But like you say, it's a decision to be made. It's more a decision to be made as taking probably five back three.
Yeah,
and I guess picking them more like a group of five as opposed to saying I'm taking two fullbacks and three wingers. I think it's probably going to be a case of here's five good back three players that can all slot in, I imagine.
And hey, listen, you know what, it is a really talented squad. There was a few eyebrows raised, but I actually think most of those eyebrows will not be players that actually make the 31. I think he probably knows there might be one or two spots on the plane he's not okay. totally nailed down
just,
on.
Just before we move on, okay, let's put ourselves in this situation, right? The powers that be are listening to this podcast and they think, God, there's some serious talent there. And they offer Mark the media role that he so richly deserves. With so much money attached to it. He's like, well, okay, Gloucester, I'll miss the first few weeks of the season, right? So then Mark's in Japan and, you know, Eddie Jones mysteriously gets ill, probably bad sushi, some such thing. And they need a high-end rugby intellect immediately available. Mark happens to be there to pick the centre partnership. Who are you going to pick?
Oh, it's tough, isn't it?
You'd have to pick... I'd probably have to pick 10,
not,
12, 13.
My shoulder's not right, is it? Just to confirm.
Your shoulder's not right. And also, it's a very believable path, so... You're going to have to
I was just checking. I was just checking. My shoulder wouldn't be right by then, so... I would, at the moment, I guess, based on what's in front of them, I think it's Manu and... I really find it hard to look past Joseph. I think he's, you know, we played him late on in the season. I just thought he's back to his best now. And I think Slade is absolutely top draw as well. So the nice thing about Slade is obviously he plays he can help the team in a number of positions, can't he? I think if you've got a fully fit Manu and Jonathan Joseph, I think that's a tried and tested combination from the past.
Mark, you're a big slice yourself. What is a fully fit Manu like to line up against?
Yeah, he's a freak, isn't he? He's there's no sort of two ways about it. When he's on song, he's as good and can still do what he's always done. So he's a fantastic and the thing is, he's a real threat as well. So whether you give him the ball or not, he's a threat. Mm-hmm. And that's why potentially you're playing with the way he's been working nicely with Slade is Slade's got potentially slightly better handling, and he can put him more into space, or you can use Manu as a dummy line and keep people honest in defensive lines. So I think what he brings, not only ball carrying, but what he brings as a threat that offers other space to other people is so big. Mm-hmm. So I think they will go. I'd expect them to go with Manu at 12, and then sort of a toss up between the other two at 13, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's such a. I was going to ask the same question again about Ben Taylor, but such a shame that you never got the opportunity to play against him.
Oh, do you know what? We actually have played a couple of times against him, and again, another big carrying threat, which I imagine him and Manu will end up doing the same job. They'll probably go both of them, and they'll just rotate through. I imagine do the same job.
What are you looking for? From that combination, why do you like that combination as opposed to say Owen Farrell at 12, who is a little bit more like yourself, say, and why and who would you go with at fly half?
That's tough, isn't it? I'm picking this based on what I think Eddie will do. By the way,
no, because you're there because of Eddie's sushi incident and your massive media contract.
Therefore, I wouldn't want to rock the boat and start making too many changes, would I? Because I'm thinking about the whole squad as a. I think Owen is sort of his captain and fly off. I think he's at the moment, and I think that's the way the squad is at the moment. Obviously, you've got George and Danny who are both sort of there. And the thing is, we've seen what George has done for quite a few years now. Mm. Whether it's coming off the bench and changing games for England or starting pushing Owen out to 12, I still think. That is a good option for the team, but then I find it baffling to think that too many, you know, how long Danny's been ignored for, and then
it is baffling.
I think he's too good to ignore. I think he's that good that it's not for any of us to say, but I think we'd all like to see him go. I'm a big fan of the way he plays and what he could potentially do off the bench. I imagine.
Oh, what a shame! What a shame that you allowed Owen Farrell to browbeat you, because the right answer was you should have started Danny Cipriani.
I'm starting six there.
It's funny. So we've got a little running order, right? Just on WhatsApp, JB and I just pinged a few things, and Phil actually chipped in on that one, even though he was several beers in Norway. But. Point three on your running order, JB, was Eddie Jones is clueless.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you've actually given him quite an easy ride compared to that.
I wasn't involved in that running order, by the way. I'd like that to be set in stone that I was not... didn't have a clue, and I didn't. Nor was I,
Mark, in that particular bit.
I don't want my name attached to anything to do with that.
Yeah, but the weird thing is, like, point four here from Mark Atkinson, angle four for a new contract, which is a nice point four, isn't it?
Let's get it out there. No.
I'll tell you what I want to move on to.
You've spelled France wrong. Move to France. Move to France.
I'll tell you what I do want to mention, though. The other England news this week is their World Cup kit was unveiled.
Yeah, what do you think?
Have you seen it, Mark?
I have seen that one, yeah. I was actually going to ask you about World Cup kits. Was this is this a hoax, the bit that's written on the Southern Hemisphere kits, or is that real?
Eh?
I saw a photo where there's some stitching, and I saw it had been on Twitter, and it had been written in saying only one Northern Hemisphere side has won the World Cup. Is that just...
No, that can't be right. Is that right?
They would not have the
temerity, surely.
No, that's a red rag to a bull.
You know when they zoomed in on the writing, I think I must have seen a picture of a hoax then.
That's very good. It's a very good bit of Photoshop, I think. If it's
not,
that's
amazing.
I'll send one of you later. Yeah, yeah, ping it over. But the England kit... England did the launch in like a grassroots rugby club bar, which if they're going to do that, and I see what they were doing, they were going, let's juxtapose these elite athletes with the grassroots.
It's a
good idea, but they let themselves down by only half-heartedly doing it. So the players had trainers on. If you're going to do that, you need to have like mud stains on them, strapping, head guards, socks pulled up, boots on.
No, boots off. I mean, have you ever come across a club steward that lets you in the club with your boots on?
It's a good point.
And also, if they're going grassroots, they probably need to have odd socks as well, didn't they?
Exactly right. And one of them needs to be naked, probably.
Matching kit.
Yeah, having a boat race in the background. One of them.
Well, exactly. Were any of them? Yeah, did any of them chop a pint or not?
Yeah, exactly. One of them naked. None of them did. No, they were just sat there. But as for the kit itself, I think generally across the board with the World Cup kits I've seen so far, there's simplicity seems to be the word, and broadly speaking, I'm on board with that. How important and how excited are you on stash day? You know, when you get your bag of kit or when you see what the kit you're going to be wearing for the next season is going to be.
Getting Gloucester kit?
Yeah.
Have you seen ours? No, I'm joking.
you've had a couple of good years actually. Gloucester kit can go easily very wrong.
I don't.
European kit aside,
when I got the Barbars kit this time, that was really cool. And yeah. I think what was nice to see is when everybody got it, regardless of who they were, everyone found it quite cool to get. I think it doesn't lose anything as you go through it. Obviously, it's sort of a bit like uniform, though, isn't it? So, you know, we don't get to see the playing kit that much right till the day the photos are done, really, because I don't really get selected to do the photos, the launches, which is strange. So I don't really see them till the whole team sees them. I don't know. Has it been released yet, ours? I don't know.
I
haven't seen it yet, but I'm absolutely convinced that you would have got out of your European pool if you hadn't had that European kit. It must psychologically, it must... Just 1-2%.
I would love to know.
Running out going, I know I don't look quite as good as I could. I know you're not allowed to say that, but I am. That kit, no, there's some of the European kits where they go novelty. I'm not a fan.
No, I'm not either.
No. I think the England kit was lovely for the white one's lovely. And I think most of the kits so far I've seen for the World Cup, but like you said, nobody's done anything too crazy. I like them. Saw the Fiji one today. That looked good.
That's my favourite so far.
Nah, do you know what? Yeah. I really like the Welsh change kit.
The green one.
I love it. I mean, I'm not keen on the quarters, but what they've done is they've CGI'd it onto a couple of players. They've got the red one on Hadley Parks, and he looks spectacular. It just looks like a really good kit, that.
Here's one that, you know, in the, obviously the squad's not announced, but certain players have already done the photo shoot. You're backing yourself to be in the squad if you've done the photo shoot for the kit launch, aren't you?
That's a great shout.
Do you remember last World Cup cycle, just about now, they included Gavin Henson in the kit launch?
Well, that's a different reason, though, isn't it, that?
Yeah, but still, I mean, that raised the hopes of a nation.
I just think when I saw the England boys, I was like, they've either got that done very quickly or they probably knew they were in the squad.
Yeah, well, they have a kit launch in Twickenham. And, like, I guess they just... Oh, I don't know, actually.
That's a really good shout.
Yeah, I guess you just get... Well, who are the guys that are modelling it? And we'll soon know.
Well, a bunch of them, but the main one was Farrell, Teo, and...
yeah, they're going nowhere. I mean, if it's like Ludlam, Yules, and someone else.
It was Farrell, Teo, and someone else. But
eyebrows would be raised.
But there was a lot of them in it. But that's a really good shout. So Fiji's, I think it's lovely. Wales, I'm a bit on the fence about. I'm not so sure about the green away one.
It's nice and plain. Yes, there are quarters on it, but they're very subtle. It's a block colour, which is unusual for Wales. The detailing's fine. I'm actually quite a big fan of it.
Mm.
And there's been plenty of bad Wales kits too. Plenty of them. And the other one that's out is the French away kit or alternative kit, which is lovely.
I do have to play you something as well, just as I'm going through a few bits. We've got messaged by a bunch of people. The other day, Stranger Things came out, and on episode 7, I'm not going to spoil anything by playing you a snippet, but episode 7, hold on, come on. So this happens. Here we go. It will get there in a sec.
Oh, they're listening to our podcast.
Yeah. Theme tune. He's on it.
That's nice.
Which was a little...
Who's paying image rights to who there?
They'll be paying to us.
We have people that deal with that.
yeah, we'll...
The other thing is, so many more people, like, we get tweeted about a certain drink more than we do rugby these days, Mark. So, are you familiar with a Negroni?
A Negroni?
Yeah. And it's
a cocktail?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Very bitter.
Yeah, I think so.
Campari.
Gin, that's it, really.
And vermouth.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, it's so thanks to everyone who sent us pictures of them. A lot of people watching the Super Rugby final with a Negroni.
Yes, I've seen.
Is that the drink of choice for the podcast?
It's kind of, yes,
it is, because, not because we like it, because we feel like you should have to, it's like a...
It brings you closer.
Yeah, it brings you closer. It's like team building. It's like Sale Sharks had...
we'll have to talk about that in a minute.
Did boxing, went head-to-head in boxing, you know, the pain and the pleasure. We... drink Negronis, the most bitter, disgusting cocktail that there is.
Yeah, it's like making friends in a trench.
I see, yeah. We on our podcast, we keep... I know you're not supposed to try and ask for sponsorship, but we keep... Most weeks, we try and push something to try and get a sponsorship deal. Ooh. We realise it's never going to come, but we keep offering to all of our few listeners, keep saying anything's welcome. So I'd have chosen something less sort of particular as my drink of choice to see if I'd get it sent to us. But nothing's come yet. But I will keep you up to date as to whether anything comes for us.
Why aren't you sort of tapping up Mitsubishi for one thing? Or
Superdry.
Yeah. No, I think we're too small for it at the moment. But we'll see. Watch this space. We'll see how this season goes with the pod. And I'm sure we'll be driving a sort of a Mitsubishi Evo by this time next year. Won't I?
Too right. Now,
with that little segue, shall we talk about Sale Sharks?
So pre-season. Do Gloucester have any kind of ritual parts of a pre-season
team building, I guess.
So I know, like, Leicester have a certain hill that they do sprints up, I think, and clearly, as we'll talk about in a second, Sale Sharks have this boxing so dimes. I love it.
It's awesome, isn't it?
What do Gloucester have anything like that?
We've got Johan does sort of a Friday session, which the strength and conditioner takes most of the week and does his own block and all the rest of it, and it's, do you know what, it's actually very, very well structured these days. I think pre-seasons have got a lot better, but Johan's sort of famous for his Friday session. It doesn't say anything else on the schedule apart from units, and then he really, really lets rip. And it's more so for the four we sort of split, and the fours and his back, she's sort of looking over there, and we've finished, and then we're sort of still trying to kick balls, and the forwards are still doing horrible stuff. So I know that's the session that especially the forwards don't look forward to. And he sort of pulls them out once every couple of weeks on a Friday afternoon. But then he also balances it out by occasionally, then they finish, and he'll just sometimes pull a beer into the middle of the circle, and they'll sit there. And then as a back line, you're watching it going, I wish we were doing that.
I wish we were that horrible.
So he's very good at mixing it up, and he knows when boys need stuff. But obviously we've got our head shaving. So
yes, the first year boys, right.
So that's a pre-season thing that I'll always look forward
even
to.
Even with your wedding around the corner.
Oh no, Mark,
you'll see my lid going off. No.
Oh right, yeah. I'm with you. So where do you stand then?
Yeah.
With boxing as a pre-season activity? Getting in the ring, milling with your mates.
Hate it. When, I don't know, when was the last time you boxed on a pitch?
Well, that's interesting. So this has caused a little bit of controversy on Twitter. And my view is...
So just for anyone who doesn't know, Sail Sharks have, and I don't know if it was the whole squad, but they certainly had I think it was the forwards, had a session with a former world champion boxer.
Johnny Murray.
And then did however long it was.
Very, very structured. Controlled bouts.
Yes.
Do you know what? It's good. It's good. Like, it gets them... The thing is, it's different if that's going to be your fitness. I imagine that's a session that they've gone and done, which is great to get everyone out. And it's good for team. Everyone has a good laugh about it and people work hard. As a fitness method, I'm sure it was just probably a one-off that they've gone and done as a squad. It's almost like the one that gets me is like, say, cycling or rowing, because it's okay, but all conditioners these days know that it doesn't matter how good your scores are on a watt bike, because you never really cycle on a pitch, do you? So
not always.
You just it's sort of irrelevant, really, how well you can cycle.
There is, I think there is, like, okay. So I think there's two parts of this. In fact, maybe even three. So first of all, it's just basic team building, isn't it? It's getting a bit of competition among the lads, then go out for some beers and so on and so forth. That, you know, that is 100% what they did. But the other part of it is, it does test you. And a lot of people think, you know, you can...
Psychologically test you as well as physically.
Yes, I mean, like, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, you can get all, you know, all the hard work and conditioning for your sport, you know, in another way. And they already know, you know, the measure of the man. But you don't know the measure of the man until you put him in a ring against another man and just see how they respond. So I think in that actual sense, it's quite a valuable tool. Because you never know. You never know until you know.
They did. I wonder if they picked a few bouts deliberately for that reason, because they put like an old wily head up against one of the real promising youngsters, just to sort of, I think, more to sort of go, let's see how this young pup kind of does. If he goes in swinging and doesn't take a backward step, that says a lot about him. And new signings as well, almost like go prove yourself.
Cooper Woolley looked nasty in there.
He did.
I do you know what? If it's going to be like, if it's going to be used in the right way, then it's great, isn't it? It goes, like you said, they go off, they do it. Everyone has a good laugh. They work hard, and then that's the end of their week, and they go for a beer. That's great.
But there's a lot of people that have said, how could this happen? And this is where JB bit hard and got himself in a few conversations on Twitter. But a lot of people talking about, in the context of all the concussions and such, how could Sail Sharks be doing this?
How could they be so irresponsible? Well, I'll tell you what. Anyone in a ring with either Rob Webber or James Phillips, that is irresponsible, because those guys are up to animals. I wouldn't be anywhere near them. Who is the guy at Gloucester that you would least like to be in the ring with?
To actually fight? I reckon there's a few nasty ones. I reckon... Lewis Ludlow wouldn't know when he's beaten. That'd be the thing that'd annoy you. Even if you'd bat him, he wouldn't know. So he would keep going to... I think the only way to do it is to put him down.
Dark gun.
So it'd only be death that'd stop him. and then you'd have a few nasty... I reckon we've got a few good boxers in the backs, you know.
Do you reckon? Who?
Yeah, I think so.
Mark Atkinson,
be handy. Bill 12. Well, I'm talking, I've seen wrestling wise. Billy 12 Trees is a fantastic wrestler. He's like,
really?
You don't want to. Yeah. We do a lot of wrestling. You don't want to wrestle him. He's horrible when you start to wrestle. And then Forbes. Who's a nimble? Because thing is, you don't want to get clouted by some of them Forbes. You don't want to land one from Ben Morgan, because he's another freak of nature. You don't realize how big and strong he is.
I was thinking Franco Moraes, but you could probably keep him away with a jab.
Franco Moraes, yeah, but those eyes will do you as well, because he sort of lures you in and then he'll want to kill you. He's another one that doesn't know when he's beaten. He's a bit mental up top. So,
and Creel, I bet, sir.
And then Mostert will probably just sort of dance around and smile at you the whole time. So that'd be all right, that fight.
Do you know the one in Gloucester that I would never want to fight, ever? Ever. Ruin Ackerman, because he's the boss's son. I mean, it's like a lose-lose.
Well, so you he beats you, you get told you should have beaten him, and if you lose to him, if you whack him, then he says you shouldn't have whacked my son. No.
Exactly.
Luckily,
right.
It doesn't come up that much that it's his son. But it, do you know what? I wouldn't want to fight him anyway. regardless of whether it's his dad, who his dad is, I wouldn't want to fight him. He's in the size of him.
Yeah, big old boy.
But the difference, he's a guy that he's the loveliest man. I've never known anyone as polite, gentle. But then you know, if it was back to caveman times.
It's the eyes, isn't it?
You're all, yeah. It's over. Game over.
It's all in the eyes that you know with him. He's brilliant, though. Yeah, like you said, I wouldn't have. I don't know what he's like as a player, and I don't think I'd have liked to go on the wrong side of him. But he is a really softly spoken man and really caring. But I just know there's something in there that you wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of.
You're absolutely
deep inside.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's been a few transfers
this week.
Sergio Parisse's gone to Toulon.
Okay, I can see some logic there. I mean, that sounds like a very Toulon-style signing.
I wanted to see him in the Premiership.
I did as well. In a Bath shirt.
Mm. And who else has gone to Toulon? Milner Scudder, who you mentioned a minute ago.
Okay.
And there's talk about Sam Whitelock going there as well.
Wow. So, there's some...
Scudder's been done. That's not a new one, though, is it? That's been done for a long time,
yeah,
has it?
Yeah, that's been on the cards. I think they've only just officially... announced it, and like you say, most of this business was done in October. Nicky Gonover to Quins, that is one that hasn't been on the cards.
Mention that the other week?
Yeah, you mentioned that it was it was going to happen, but it's been confirmed.
That's a decent signing. In fact, that's a really good signing.
It is
great signing.
Great signing, and obviously, Sale Sharks confirmed what we knew all along.
Right.
Mark Wilson.
So here is a question: right, who is King of the North? Is it Mark Wilson or is it Steve Diamond, and will this create friction?
Well, I'll tell you what might create friction is how many back row trios do they have in that squad now?
Well, they're fighting on two fronts. You know, they've got the European Cup, which they need to win, and they've got the Premiership, which they need to win.
It's a strong squad. It wasn't a nice team to play last year, and then you think the additions that they've made this year, it's a very, very strong squad.
It is.
I think Mark Wilson is a great bit of business. I don't know how that's come about, but I think that's a fantastic bit of business because he's one of the ones that you sort of see. You know, you don't see that many get a breakthrough to the England squad from the lower teams necessarily, and it just sort of proves that there will be a few of them that would all. You know, he is absolutely top draw, I reckon.
Isn't it?
Talking about the six from Leicester.
Yeah. good.
doesn't it wind you up a bit? I mean, this winds me up enormously, the whole Mark Wilson business, because I seem to remember us talking about Mark Wilson, right, when we first started the podcast. That was nearly 5 years ago. And we spoke about him and spoke about him and spoke about him, and he never got a shot. And then he gets a shot. It turns out absolutely flipping brilliant.
Yeah, but I'm gonna say it from a different point of view. You see that happen a lot with Wales, and it's not that Warren Gatland is a he is a great coach, but it's not that he's a genius and just plucked out someone from obscurity. He didn't have a choice. And it's the same, an opportunity, look what Mark Atkinson at Gloucester has done.
Yeah,
but you, Mark, just needed an opportunity, and because England have such a big player pool, those opportunities are harder to come by. The challenge is making as big an impact as Mark Wilson did. Think about how many injuries there were.
But they're still taking six players from Leicester, you know, which is absurd when you think about what they've actually done this season.
Well, that's only
it is. But what I would argue, based on your argument earlier, is which of the six do you not pick for your England squad?
100%, exactly.
That's all of them, really. I mean,
get out of it.
Just all of them. I mean, I don't think I'd go with Youngs.
That you're saying there's six people that, yes, obviously Leicester underperformed this year and they'll be disappointed how they've gone as a team, but I can't imagine there's many people sort of who can argue against most of them being in the squad,
I think I probably could. And I would say...
I was going to say, obviously don't know JB very well. He can argue black is white, Mark.
Yeah, so I mean, my thought process would be that, yeah, Ford is great, but is Ford there just because he's like the yes man to fill in for Farrell?
Mate, this is a waste of podcast. This is a waste of podcasting time, because George Ford's brilliant. So just,
Is brilliant. There is no two ways about it. He is brilliant. But is he more brilliant than Danny Cipriani? I've said it for a long time, and I say no. I'd look at Ben Youngs. Ben Youngs is very inconsistent. You know, and he's had all of the game time. Dan Cole, not even Eddie believes in him that much.
No, well, I'll tell you what, I'll put it like, one thing I will say like this is, I think possibly, and we've seen it with Harlequins in the past, and actually, conversely, you've seen it from the other way round, from Gloucester, it's almost a disadvantage having loads of internationals in your squad.
Yeah, and maybe you could say because they've got those six guys that go away and they underperform. Yeah. But I'm not sure.
It's something that...
I think losing's a habit.
Yeah, but just going back to Sale Sharks, with Mark Wilson, they've got Tom Curry, Ben Curry, John O'Ross, Mark Wilson, Dan Dupria, Jean-Luc Dupria, Josh Strauss, Josh Beaumont, and you can probably count Cameron Neild as well. That is an unbelievable back row options.
Yeah, so,
I said a while ago, do you reckon if Tom Curry gets a bit fed up in England camp, I reckon they just switch them.
I think they probably would.
He could just send Ben in for a week and say, I'm a bit tired. Could you go and do my next week in there? Do you reckon, I don't know the difference between the two of them. I think they're both class.
I can just about tell the difference now. Just about. Apparently, to the lads that are with him all the time, it is fairly obvious. But it wouldn't be obvious to Premiership ref. So if you don't list one on your team sheet, you could swap them at half time.
Totally. Yeah. Like Jose Mourinho, when he got a touchline ban. And had to sit in the stand. He once got smuggled into the dressing room to do like a European Cup semi-final team talk. He got smuggled in by hiding in the big thing that they throw all the towels in. And he hid under a load of towels and got wheeled in. They could just do that with Ben Curry.
I mean, same with the...
It's not like
with
those, do you remember those, the Silver Twins that used to be at United?
What happened to them?
Yeah.
They left them right back. But it's just a shame one of them was garbage, wasn't he? So
yeah,
they could have swapped them to. Whereas the Currys are absolutely fantastic. Both of them are amazing, so... Well, I don't know. I think I haven't seen enough to know, or I don't know the dark arts enough to know why Tom's so much sort of more recognised than Ben.
Well,
but,
Ben got the player of the season.
Tom. I mean, they both strike me as very, very talented players.
Yeah. So just to answer the question on this, I think one of those back row will be leaving. I think Mark Wilson will be used across the back row because that's what he's great at. And then, you know, if you pick up an injury here or that thing is, those two Dupria boys are monsters.
But more's the point, I'd say in a World Cup year, you're actually...
Yeah,
you're going to see your England players, assuming they stay fit, and let's say assuming they're in the World Cup beyond the middle of October, please, then you're not going to see your England internationals for probably half the season domestically.
And also, it's tough sort of... You have to remember that the DORs make their plans, don't they, based from probably Christmas onwards. And they've probably had, you know, everything in place. And then all of a sudden you get offered a player like Mark Wilson. You go, right, Leo, let's find a way to get him in. But I think that's the way it happens, isn't it? Because they only went down with 2 weeks to go. So probably most of the dealings were done at that point. And then they've gone, oh, God, you can't pass up Mark Wilson just because we're going to look fairly well stocked in the back row.
Yeah.
What's it going to do? It's just going to boost your squad, isn't it? If you've got money left in the cap and you can add him in, why not?
Yeah. So neither of you have answered my question yet. Who is King of the North? Steve Diamond or Mark Wilson?
Mark Wilson's more northern, isn't he? So
he is.
And there's not many.
It'll be interesting to see how he'll think he's living in London, living there, surely, won't he?
Metropolitan.
Do you know what? I'll say this. I can understand why some players would choose other clubs over Sale Sharks if everything else was equal. Because, for example, playing in front of the shed every week.
Yeah, cool.
Must be amazing. You know, that must be that is something very special. Equally, I don't understand why more. Manchester is an amazing city.
It's so much.
If I was young, particularly young, bachelor, professional athlete
in Didsbury.
You can make your money go a lot further.
Yeah.
Can have a lot of fun up here.
Not only that, I mean, yeah, London's pretty cool, but it's almost impossible to live there. I mean, what an awful
thing. I mean, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard that we're, obviously, you two live in Manchester. I'm from Manchester. So we've not got a weighted argument elsewhere here, have we?
No, but I mean, what would...
So people, it's not a balanced view, this, really.
But what would be the other argument? Like, comes Northampton home of shoes? I mean, it doesn't really
say... I think Northampton's a good place to play, though, isn't it?
I think they all are.
That's really a cool place to play. But I see what you mean about Manchester as a... If you were solely picking based on life outside of rugby, especially, then, yeah, I think Manchester's got... I think it's got to be the best, really, hasn't it? The pay doesn't necessarily... You know, with other jobs, the pay is different going to London, but the pay is the same if you go to Sale or you go to Manchester. It's not... They don't pay you less because you're in Manchester as opposed to London. I mean,
a rugby player earns bloody good money compared to regular people.
But Could have told me.
Yeah,
they do.
And there,
okay.
there is a context there because they're one head knock away from.
Don't get me wrong. Mate, but my point is, in London, it's not that well paid, is it? I mean, like, you know, up in Newcastle, very well paid. Up in Leicester, very well paid. In London, Richmond, not so much.
I hear what you're saying. I do.
I guess it depends. Hang on. I think it depends who you are, doesn't it? That's a generalisation. I reckon a few of them are doing okay. A few of them are affording their rent just about. But I see what you mean. Your money goes a long way in Manchester as opposed to living in Richmond.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Manchester is so cool. So, I mean, like I said, it's three people who love Manchester and not really anything against it, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I guess when Leeds were in the top flight, you could have gone there.
I'm just going to...
Go on, sorry.
No, not at all. I was just going to say, I'm going to jump on to our... I'm just going to jump on and see what questions we got asked on... We got asked to cover off on Twitter. But I didn't watch the Super Rugby. And
I did, actually.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Can you... Because I don't think you did. Did you, Mark, at all?
So... I watched him dance at the end on Twitter, but that's about
all.
Yeah,
I saw the dance at the end.
He just reposted it from last year, I think.
Well, no. He's added some... It was more dance than breakdance this year.
He's getting older, though, isn't he?
Yeah, well, there you go.
I think last year he wore a Czech shirt. This year he wore a black shirt. So I'm all for it. I love it. I think he's whatever he's doing there, and when the boys start to call him out for dancing, I think it's fantastic.
I want to hate it, but I love it.
I'm exactly the same. Yeah. I really want to hate it, but it makes you smile. And then you realize
he's good, though, isn't he? That's the problem. He's not. If it was a bit awkward, but he's actually really good. So
when he hits
it's really
the deck.
Hard to, Well, it's really hard to go against him.
The dance is in two stages. Like, the standing up bit is pretty awkward, but then when he hits the deck, it's amazing.
I know, but imagine your coach doing that. That's why I keep thinking, like, that is amazing. Like seeing him do that and being able to, knowing that if you win, your coach is going to have to do that. I reckon that is incredible.
I don't know if this is completely true. I might have made some of it up. I think Dorian West can do that.
I think so.
I actually did watch this game, and it was good fun, actually. I mean, I think the Jaguares gifted Crusaders the game. They just did the same thing over and over again, and I think with Crusaders, what you need more than anything is a bit of variety. They didn't kick particularly well, and fair play to Crusaders, their line speed, I mean, for all the banter that we give Super Rugby for not being able to defend, they were bloody brilliant. Their line speed was outstanding. But I think there were things Jaguares could have done to combat it. They just decided not to. I think they found a system that worked for them for all the other rounds, and they stuck with it, and it wasn't the right way to go. And also, the Crusaders set piece was exceptional. I mean, at one point...
Literally a pack of New Zealand internationals.
Against a pack of Argentine.
Yeah.
Internationals. I mean, the big loser from this game isn't New Zealand and it isn't Argentina. It's England.
Argentina, apparently, are 45-1 to win the World Cup.
Really?
Which actually seems... I mean, I don't think they will, but unbelievably long odds.
What do you reckon New Zealand are, like 10-1 or something like that?
They'll probably be odds on. Surely less than that. 2-1 or odds on.
2-1 to get through the group stage with all those games. I don't know about that. I don't think anyone's...
They won't be odds on, but I'd have thought New Zealand would be 5 or 6, wouldn't they?
I don't know.
You can find this out easily enough on your phone.
If only we were still sponsored by a betting company.
I believe there are apps that you can use, but I wouldn't personally know anything about rugby and gambling. I wouldn't want to put myself in that situation. But what I'd imagine is 4s, 5s, 6s around.
Yeah.
How often do you have people come in and do media training type stuff?
That's a good question.
Not me. We don't have any media training. This is, as you can tell, this is all. There's a load of rubbish that I've been saying. We don't really get media as such. I thought you were about to ask about the gambling thing. I thought we get reminded once.
We
get a talk once a year, remind us that we can't gamble. Not really media training as such. No. When you podcast every week, you sort of, what happens is we record our own, as you'll know about this, we record our own, and then when it goes out finally, Sam does the edit for us, and then it goes out finally, most of my bits have been edited out by that stage, so I usually get myself into trouble sort of twice a week, so, and Sam decides what's good and what can't
You've
go out.
You've been very well behaved then tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who's doing the editing, so we don't edit quite significantly.
No, you're right. Well, it scares me every time, but JB quite likes to just live stream us out on the interweb as we're going out.
I did another podcast recently, which I don't want to mention, but it had Andy Goode and Jim Hamilton on.
Yeah.
And I phoned in after the bars, and I'd had 4 pints with Bill Burns in Cheltenham. He's back over the summer. And it was the week after, so obviously I was starting my summer holidays, and I'd had 4 pints and I'd forgotten about it. And I got a text through saying, "You're going on in the next 15. I was like, "Oh God, this could go two ways now." I think 4 pints is about my cusp when my tongue really starts to let loose as well. So I managed to sort of hold it back, quick pint of water and a packet of crisps, and then I spoke for the next 20 minutes. But I was nervous.
Were you at Bill Burns' favourite pub in Cheltenham?
We're at the Retreat, if that's his favourite pub. I'm not sure if he's told you what his favourite pub is.
Well, no, he hasn't told me what his favourite pub is. You've told me what his favourite pub is when I interviewed him.
Bill Burns? What did I say?
I can't actually remember now.
Oh.
Well, good point. Well, good point. Well,
no. You made a big fucking dance on it over a text, like ask him what his favourite pub is. So I asked him what his favourite pub is. He was all over it. I thought surely you'd remember that.
What did he say his favourite pub was?
I don't know. It's one where he gets Guinness.
There you go. Media training 101. Just
from JB. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, but the other thing Mark told me was ask him about when he tried to buy a football team. So I asked him about when he tried to buy a football team. He goes, I've got no idea, mate.
He wouldn't have wanted to tell it, but he went down to help out a local team.
Yeah.
He was like, by the end of the day, he came out having sponsored them for a season. He felt that bad. They were sort of pushing him whilst he was there, sort of doing a nice thing for a local side. And he was like, oh, God, somehow I managed to buy a box at a local side and sponsor them for the year. So he's that sort of person. He sort of got himself into that scenario without realising how.
Oh, good lad. Good lad.
We've had some very deep questions asked on Twitter. So I'll get to one of these. Real thought-provoking stuff like... Why, from Richard Collins, why is pizza cooked in circles, served in squares, and eaten in triangles?
Hang on a minute. Okay, yeah.
Who are your listeners?
I know, and then the question. One below that is
these Russian
is a picture of Negroni. I think we are followed by Russian bots, but there's quite a lot of them in our listening stats, so that's fine. I don't. We don't care where they come from.
Buy your listeners.
Yeah. It's the only way now.
A lot of people complaining about the England squad, but we kind of did that earlier. A lot of people.
Excellent. Well, no, you can put their mind at ease now, can't you? Because you're saying I've got a shoulder. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
No, a lot of people. I didn't mention earlier Brad Shields earlier, but I just want to give if Chris Robshaw was here now, I'd just give him a long man hug. Mm. And James Hogarth has actually said thoughts on this week's Love Island, so. Let's return to where we started. I asked you, and we're going to have to go soon because the episode is on.
Actually.
It's recorded.
Well, yeah, no, I've actually had a text saying, "What? You're not that interesting." Owen Williams just texted me out of his window. I'm outside his house saying, "You're not that interesting. What have you got to speak to him about for that long?" Which is nice of him. It's lovely of him, isn't it?
Yeah, that is nice of him.
So there's a Love Island party around theirs tonight.
Around whose?
At Owen Williams' house. There's a Love Island party.
Oh, nice. And who's going?
Well, I mean, it's just this myself, Owen Williams, and Jason Woodward, and the three girls. But it's turned in from a barbecue that started at 5. Well, we might as well just stay and watch Love Island now, mightn't we?
In fact, can I just say, you just mentioned Jason Woodward. It was so mortally embarrassing for him, but one of my favourite moments of the season for all the wrong reasons, because we've all done stupid stuff, but you guys, you guys have cameras on you, and you can't even just have a little bit of a laugh with one of your mates in the crowd without potentially going out on live television.
I know you're about to say, yeah, when he's he's spotted his mate down at the bottom.
Yeah. And the TV cameras cut to him as he was. He was doing that. He was shaking some Kenko beans.
Oh, really?
That's what he was doing. Yeah, he was. He was just checking.
Get me
there was
a coffee.
Left. Yeah.
Now, is it true Jason Woodward is a keen pilot?
Yes, he is. Yeah, I didn't believe it for a long because he's an idiot. I didn't believe it for a long time. He's not qualified. He's not done his flight hours officially, but he's getting there, I think. And at some point, he'll do something real, which really scares me. I don't know if you've met him, but
I've met him once in a lift.
Yeah. With what, sorry?
I've met him once in a lift.
I just had an awkward experience. So me and Jason went to do a pre-game thing with Alistair Eakin before BT. And they were like, oh, Jason's going to fly Alistair. I don't know if you saw it. Jason's going to fly Alistair Eakin, and they're going to have a chat and then go from there. And then so they said, oh, it'd be good if you went along because Jason's a bit boring. No, they didn't say that. But they said, if you can go along as well and like sort of make it a nice chat. All right, yeah, so I met on this airfield. Alistair Eakin stood up with a BT crew and they've gone, Mark's on the bench this week. Is there anybody else available? And I was stood there. The chat was happening in front of me.
Really?
They're going, yeah, the chat's going, oh, sorry,
that's
Mark.
Brutal.
We're sort of hoping for somebody. I was like, no worries. I'll just head on home.
So, give me a big name. Get me one now.
I didn't want anyone wearing the number 22 shirt that week. They wanted a 1-15, didn't they?
Unbelievable.
And unbeknown to the BT lot, they were only sending you because they thought, well, if the plane goes down, we don't want to lose two of our starting.
Exactly. That's what the Gloucester media team were thinking. Hang on, we don't want to lose Jason Wood and a star centre, but we'll send Aki along and see if we can get away with it then if anything goes wrong.
Who shall we send? Atkinson.
Yeah. Well, we need him this Friday. Send him. Oh, no, God, no. No, we don't know. We've got a game against Sarries. We don't need him. make sure he's back for Monday night.
So you didn't go flying? Did Jason actually go flying that day?
Yeah, Jason went up. Yeah, he took a helicopter out, yeah.
Helicopter? Wouldn't want to fly.
Yeah, he's a helicopter pilot, yeah.
Ah, wow. So that would be him.
But Franco Murray flies like small planes, apparently. Well, I've seen video evidence, yeah.
So I think that's something to do with either being in New Zealand or being in South Africa because they're such a big land... Well, particularly South Africa is such a big, big landmass. I actually played cricket on it.
Again, people are getting educated tonight. There's a big landmass in South Africa.
Wow. Yeah. There you go.
Well, so I was at a hunting lodge.
It's like listening to an episode of Love Island, that. You could have joined in that conversation about is Rome in Italy or is Italy in Rome?
That's a good question. I will tell you this. The most railway, okay, highest railway density in the world is in the Vatican. There you go. There is a little fact. So I was going to say, so that's South Africa airfields.
Have that one for free, yeah.
Exactly. I actually played cricket on a South African airfield in a hunting lodge. The reason was all the locals gathered around to this hunting lodge in the middle of nowhere, and their weekend hobby was either playing cricket on the airfield or flying microlights.
That's varied, isn't it?
So there you go.
Tidy. Oh, right. So we are going to return to Kojak. Well, there's a bunch of people who've asked about Love Island. I think because JB desperately wanted to do a Love Island podcast.
Desperately.
So come on, let's just finish the podcast with a little bit on Love Island. What are you seeing in general, JB?
Well, first, can I just say I've got a quick problem with... When they go on and say, I'm a semi-professional footballer from wherever and I'm a semi-professional rugby player, well, they're not, are they? Because it's in pre-season now, so surely they're about to lose their contracts. I don't know who these people are that go on.
So glad that you mentioned that, because Michael, it was assigned to a fire station in Liverpool, which, of course, is not very far from the great city of Manchester. He was a fireman for 2 weeks before he got on Love Island. Said he was going, and now he's no longer a fireman. So you're absolutely right.
Wow.
What's the rules? Do they have to give up their jobs to go on?
They don't have to.
I mean, just to confirm, use the term jobs very loosely for most of them.
Yeah. I live the situation, you know, when, do you know when you got like one guy, so like, it happened last year, like Wes. Wes was a nuclear scientist.
Yes, yeah.
A nuclear engineer or whatever he was. And this sounds incredibly harsh, and I don't mean it to be. But he would be talking to someone, and she'd be like, yeah, I do lashes, and I sometimes do nails too. I'm like, he's a nuclear scientist, just say that you do lashes. Don't kind of expand into nails, it's not going to impress him.
And he's going, right, no, we're okay now, because you do both of them. So,
and microbraiding, I do microbraiding.
We can speak on the same level.
Now, in your dressing room, do you ever, with your teammates, or just with your mates in general, ever have conversations like the guys in Love Island?
Oh my God, that's
great. When you come into Gloucester, do you ever chat? How's your relationship? How was the conversation with your missus last night? How's your relationship going? Where's your head at?
I find it, some of the questions. Do you know what? Some of my favourite time though is when it's just the boys together. I think when you get snippets of the boys being boys and not having those forced conversations about where their heads are,
yeah.
I do like seeing sort of just five idiot lads doing stupid stuff together, and you think, oh, actually, no, they are quite normal. Well, they
just,
might
just
be.
Just one of them letting rip and the others laughing. We all do it.
Yeah.
They don't get into
you see the
each
little
other,
bit.
They?
You see little snippets, don't you? And you go, oh, they're only showing us the serious conversations, but they are actually just normal blokes in there, I guess.
Yeah, because I want to see them get into each other. They never say particularly. I mean, they're never mocking each other or there's never.
You're right,
actually.
They don't take the piss out of each other very much. No. Which
rugby.
Changing rooms are savage for that, but it's done with so much love and affection,
isn't
it?
Maybe you'd be asked to leave if one of us went in there then. I think you'd be done for bullying, maybe.
Yeah, I think you're probably, I think you're right.
I don't think I'd last 24 hours in there, you know.
Tom Von Dell was due to join.
Was he? Well,
he told us last year that he got invited. He did. He got. They wanted him to go on.
I did know. I'd like to see Henry Purdy on there.
Why so?
Have you seen him?
He'd do all right, yeah.
He'd be fine.
That is one of the problems, of course, though, isn't it? Which is they're all so hot, they've never had to actually talk to a member of the opposite sex because they always come up to them and they say yes or no, you know, thumbs up.
Oh, no, but equally, like,
and they can't discuss things. That's their problem.
Maybe, but also, I want a rugby player to go in, Mark, because they're all, like, they've all done beach weights. There's no functional strength in any of them. So I want like some...
What, so do you want to see someone to go in and do a proper... crawls rather than just doing guns? Yeah. Do you want to see someone do some bear crawls and maybe some sort of just getting into jackal position, that sort
exactly.
of thing?
Exactly, just go and deadlift 220.
Yeah,
in
and
front
just sort of,
all.
Yeah, maybe get Ovi jumping, that sort of, maybe get him jumping the line out, see if Michael can lift him.
Oh, weak core, pathetic.
Maybe they could just, you know what? Maybe they could just hit a few drills. Yeah, you're getting Tommy lifting Ovi from behind, see if he can get a single man lift on him. That sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if I could lift any of them. I would like to see.
It'd be interesting to make a sevens team between the lot of them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because they're not in bad shape, and I bet they're pretty. Tommy, you say no functional strength.
Oh, look at his legs. Like, he's got no. He's skipped leg day.
No,
Tommy did.
But those are boxer legs, because that's what they do, isn't it? They want all the power up top because they've got a way in.
All the levers.
Again, I guess it's functional for what he needs, but yeah, there's not massive legs, is there? But he's decent up top.
Yeah,
I think it'd be interesting. Do you know what I'm liking to develop though? Is the Curtis dad bod? So I'm enjoying seeing that day on day how it's sort of morphing back into a normalish bloke shape.
I'm not going to ask you to comment on this, Mark, because it's a little controversial, but. Do you notice when they all come in, right? All the girls have had their tanning injections. They look great. All the boys look extra pumped. And I'm not saying it's not because they're on their usual diet of whatever it is. But by about week three, they get a lot smoother than when they originally were in. And I wonder if that's something to do with, you know, the other things that they have with their dinner.
Oh, is that what you're hinting at? I do you know what? I don't know. Does that...
Yeah,
yeah, maybe.
100%.
But I just think, do you know what? They've probably got... How long do they get told that they're going in? A few months or not?
You've got like a couple of weeks. So you get in the gym.
Well, they must know when they're on the... they must know as they're getting closer and closer that they're getting closer and closer.
Yeah, I mean, the girls having the lip fillers and all that nonsense.
I reckon if you're one of those lads walking in as well, you haven't touched a drop of water for 3 days before as well. So just to get your first shot, because that's all anyone remembers. So,
yeah, right.
And then as soon as that's done, then they can start to drink again like a boxer, I reckon.
Yeah, and the last thing is on functional strength. I think you're doing Michael a disservice because I've trained with firemen and they are seriously good athletes.
Like, oh, but just to confirm, I'd look like a bag of sick in there compared to all of them. I think Michael's good. Michael's probably playing hooker for you, isn't he, in a sevens team?
I'd say
so.
Or
he's, yeah. Or I'm trying to think. Who else is in there at the moment?
Anton will be in nine, probably.
Yeah, that blonde lad will probably put him on the bench because he'll make you fall asleep, won't he, if you're trying to play with him.
Yeah,
he's what is your favourite snack, though?
Not
dies,
not,
he dies. That's all I would say. If I was him, I'd be just doing Ivan Drago impressions. last question on Love Island. Do you remember Frankie from last year who claimed he was a semi-pro rugby player?
Yeah, he's a Cheltenham boy. Yeah,
exactly. Have you come across him? Did he come down to Boston?
He hasn't been to training much, but I have met him out in Cheltenham. I've seen him out in Cheltenham. And I've got some friends who are friends with it. But this claim is strange, isn't it? Because they announce it. It's like you're just allowed to say you're a semi-pro or you're a professional footballer.
It happened with the fella who got kicked out.
Oh, yeah. He was a
He said he was a semi-pro rugby player. He played for like
I think he'd had a
level
game
eight
Dorking
or something
like that, hadn't he? He'd played one game and been paid £50 for it at Southeast 2 or something like that.
If I ever got into Love Island, I'm going with semi-pro rugby player. I mean, let's face it, I make some money from this whole endeavour. So, yeah. Or professional... professional around rugby. That would be what it was.
Well, some of us can. Well, one person chatting here could go on and say professional rugby player, and I could say professional broadcaster. So you know,
probably won't be me. I'm a professional broadcaster, a lot less rugby player at the moment. but I think it's just a strange one that they're allowed to sell it as that, but they do announce it every time, don't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what? One thing I'll say is, you know, the boys went off to Castor and Moore, right, and then those girls came into the villa. Did you notice that the other three girls didn't get a single second of camera time?
Yeah, and there was... Yeah.
So I'd like to know, for the 4 days they were there, it's like they didn't open their mouths, didn't have one conversation.
I think they are only kind of filmed if they do anything with any of the other boys, because there's some of them on there. Like, there was one episode I saw a girl, I had no idea who she was, and it's like three days in.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
Yeah, I just felt like they didn't get any camera time if they weren't involved, so... That was a strange one. All of a sudden, when they were stood there around the fire pit, and you're going, "Oh yeah, there was three other girls there that weren't
in it."
Yeah. Well, I've loved it. It's compulsive viewing, isn't it?
It is, and I think we should leave it there. I think we should definitely leave it there because I can feel our listener numbers dropping off.
Yeah, and I can also see trending trending on the on the UK Twitter right now is Craig David.
Oh, Craig David's in Love Island tonight! Amazing.
What?
Yeah.
And we're still recording this nonsense at 9:20.
So, right. So, on that bombshell, I will just say, Mark, as well as being primarily,
Mark,
as well as being a part-time rugby player, he is also a full-time broadcaster on the Podding Shed Gloucester podcast.
We're going to link up this season, aren't we?
Yeah.
I hope so. Oh, well, if you want, you can come down to Twickenham and do a podcast with us on the Sunday. When's that, Tim?
Oh well,
do the advert, Tim.
We'll do all this. No, I'm not going to do this at the end.
Oh, Tim, it was a perfect opportunity then to drop it in.
All right, 7th of September, we've got our live show at Twickenham, the day that England fly off to the World Cup in Japan, in the East Stand at Twickenham, the newly renovated with a load of other fellow podcasters and stuff, rugby focus, World Cup focus. Podcastlive.com is the website. Go get your tickets. Come and join us. Podcastlive.com.
Professional job.
Podding Shed, we're definitely going to link up this season.
Love that.
And yeah, so go give it a follow. Go hit subscribe on that as well as this so you get them both in your feed.
Oh, thanks for that.
No problem. Right, well, that is pretty cool. Actual professional rugby player.
Yes, very cool.
There you go. So yeah, you can follow us at Rugby Podcast, me at Jay Beardmore, him at Cocker, and we'll probably be back next Sunday with a full crew and less professional rugby players.
Right.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.